Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. I'd now like to look ahead to a place Pope Benedict XVI is scheduled to visit on Monday, 7th of April. That's to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the founding of the Community of Sant'Egidio, a lay movement founded in Rome in the aftermath of the Second Vatican Council and spread since then in 70 nations throughout the world. The venue of this meeting is an ancient basilica which has now become a shrine to the memory of the martyrs of the 20th century, which was entrusted by the late John Paul II to the Sant'Egidio community. It's also the titular church of Cardinal Francis George, Archbishop of Chicago, and it's known as San Bartolomeo, meaning St. Bartholomew. Tucked away in a romantic spot in the heart of Rome, at the edge of an island on the Tiber River, it's linked to the rest of the city by two very ancient bridges. I went there earlier in the week with our Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, to find out more. Slinking in as preparations were underway and the smell of fresh paint laced the air. This is a small basilica which has an ancient history, Breda. Yeah. So what is the story exactly?
This is a small basilica on top of a smaller church, which takes up about the shape of the presbytery, the raised presbytery you can see now. Let's say the older church was about a third of what we're looking at now, and this is actually quite small. So the early church was the desire of Otto III, the last of the sacred Roman Empire emperors, to reign, and he wanted to build a church here in 998 to celebrate Saint Adalberto, who was a bishop martyr of Prague, who died in 997. So what you can see downstairs, which obviously is not open to the public, is a little old chapel. The base is still there, some of the columns are there, and also the eagle stem of the emperor is still on some of those columns. A Germanic emperor who initiated the Christian space in this particular area. So after that, the church was restored under Pasquale II in 1013. Now, this is the Pasquale who also did a lot of restoration work in San Clemente and Santissimi Santi Quattro Coronati, because of a lot of damage done there by saccage. But here, actually, lots of problems created by neglect of the area and also overflow of water from the Tiber onto the island and doing a lot of destruction. So in the 12th century, he had this basic church rebuilt. Obviously, later on, it was embellished and restructured, etc. But the essential shape of what we're looking at now dates back to the 12th century. Now, it's a mini basilica, so you feel the sense of its being mini by those tiny columns that go down on each side, which are from an old temple which was built on this site, in Esculapio, the god of medicine. So it's strange, we're on the Tiber Island, you have a hospital behind us, we have another, the Jewish hospital right next to us, looking straight ahead of here at the altar steps. A very unusual well, which you would never find in any church. There's no church with a well of this type in Rome. They think this came originally, at least the drum of this column, or old Roman column, came from the original temple that was on the spot. Afterwards, obviously, you have these little tabernacles all around with the Christ and two saints and a bishop. So it became a Christian element and became eventually also a baptistry, small baptistry, and also a source of drinking water for people in this area until, of course, the water became contaminated, so it's no longer used for that. Very strange to find this piece in that spot in a church like this. You would never find a
well.
It's still a well, technically, even though it's full of debris now and it's no longer used. It's about 10 feet deep. But it makes quite a strange impact. I mean, the viewer can sit there and look at this beautiful marble. The sculpture gives you a soft feeling. You know, it's kind of fluid way into the church. Then you look at the side and you see these ancient temples. Now, in the 1600s, when the church was redone, they put new capitals on top of the original capitals of, obviously, what was a pagan temple. So you have to sort of change the capitals and put these let's say, false Corinthian temples. So there is another type of capital underneath these, but what you see now is in conformity with most of the chapels or churches that you would see in Rome. So you have the three aisles, which is the classic basilica of Rome. What's very beautiful here is looking towards the main altar, which you can arrive at in about 3 minutes, which is very quick for a church in Rome, because most times you have to walk and walk and walk and then get to the main altar. Here, the opening area to the presbytery is rather beautiful because you have the two columns, which were put in by the cardinal. This became a titular church in 1517, so after which then you had various cardinals who were able to collect money for decoration, etc., etc. Those columns that you can see there just entering into the presbytery area.
Like a triumphal arch.
Triumphal arch, but look at the way the triumphal arch is on the top. It's like an open scroll. It just swirls around and closes in on itself and opens up. And at the top it has a little stem to St. Bartholomew. But then you get the sense of the revelation, because the scroll always has this sense of a message. You just open it and you put it around the triumphal arch and you're giving the message. Now, the great message of this church is martyrdom, because obviously the apostle, St. Bartholomew, who was buried in that magnificent porphyry vessel, I mean, you can't call it a tomb, it's a vessel, but it now is a tomb. This comes from the 1st or 2nd century, they're not quite sure. And it has a lion and then a little emblem and the name of St. Bartholomew on it, because his relics were moved around quite a lot. For example, they were brought from Beneventura, they were brought here. In certain moments when damage was done to the church, they were taken temporarily to the Vatican. And then again, when the French came to Rome, they were taken temporarily to Santa Maria in Trastevere and then brought back again. So his relics have actually moved around a little bit. So now they are here permanently, and you see this beautiful, imposing altar. I like to see in a church an altar which is imposing. In the past, this altar had a big ciborium with porphyry columns. These columns are now in the Vatican Museum in the Gallery of the Tapestries, so they're kept there. So after that, Pius IX gave them a gift of what they call another altar, like this slab on the top, and fixed the vessel with St. Bartholomew's remains as a permanent altar. So this gives it a certain beauty, and this is the colour of the porphyry, which is this lovely pink and black and pink again, and let's say a little purple in the pink, but it's a very strong colour, and it's reflected, as you can see, in all the colours in the church. There's a kind of joyfulness in the colour, because here underneath each of the columns going down each side, the little archways are painted in darker pink. All around the altar area of the apse, it's a lighter pink with some gold, and the greys are pale greys, and you have lots of nice green, soft green. So the overall effect is a limpid softness. And I think that's what makes the whole area so attractive. I love these Paleo-Christian style churches where you have the raised presbytery. For example, you can see that it has a balustrade. This is not the original balustrade. This was put in the 1600s, because they obviously had to have a balustrade. But in the past, they probably had an iconostasis, a cross, which has gotten lost, so we don't know what happened to it. So the church, because of the amount of times it was flooded, and frescoes also were damaged, lots of different things happened at different times. But it's an important church because we have one apostle here, and an apostle martyr. So we have churches in Rome, apart from St. Peter's, but you have Santi Apostoli, where there are more than one. But the first feeling I had in this church was it was like a Domus Ecclesia, like one of the first Christian spaces that you could have as a house. So if you took away all these seats and you just covered yourself with the atmosphere created by these beautiful columns and the colours, you would feel quite at home. There's a homeliness about the basilica. It's imposing but homely at the same time, and that's kind of complex as a concept. For example, now, at the back there, you have a fresco by a painter from Palermo who shows the martyrdom of St. Bartholomew. And again, there are two little side chapels at the top, each side of the main altar. The overall message here is martyrdom. If you look up near the windows at the top here, you have laurel leaves, you have acanthus leaves, you have palm trees, you have all these elements which relate to the symbols of martyrdom. And it's probably no coincidence that Sant'Egidio has put in here a number of attributes which relate to specific people who were killed in recent times in what they say in Italian, in odore di santità, let's say, in a saintly way, or the bishops who were killed on the altar, who obviously are not yet beatified and whatever. So they keep these, let's say, future relics very liberally in the side chapels. So you have three on each side. But I think the general feeling is, if you walk into, for example, Santa Maria in Trastevere, you have a massive line of columns that take you right into the distance, into something that you have to go and discover. Here you have an immediate embrace because of this triumphal arch, the way it's done with this beautiful curvature of the scroll. So the scroll opens up the message, and the scroll in this particular triumphal arch opens up the message of salvation to us and actually makes us feel very much a part of it.
Heartfelt thanks there to Professor of Fine Arts, Breda Ennis, who's currently working at the American University of Rome. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scarsbrick.